Good morning, church. It's good to be with you here on Facebook Live. Please join me as we pray for our offering, offer prayers for our service today. Lord, thank you, God, for this time. God, we are really blessed to be able to continue to worship you, to receive, Lord, your provision each day. And we just offer to you the giving that we give to you, Lord, in our finances. And we ask that you would bless it, you would multiply it, Lord. You would continue, Lord God, to do the work and ministry you want to do through your church, through our giving today. We also want to lift up to you, Lord God, our community. We pray for the Country Villas South. We pray for those residents who have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. We pray for their healing. We pray that they would be able to have a strength, Lord, from you. We pray for those residents and those who are also taking care of the residents too, Lord God, to also receive your healing, your grace at this time. We ask for your protection, Lord God, over our nation, Lord God. We pray for our finances, our economy as a nation, Lord. Everyone who is out of a job currently or in a place of being worried in that state, we pray that you would just really move in our nation, give wisdom to leaders to make good decisions. So we thank you, God, for this time. We pray that you would bless the reading of your word today. We pray that you would speak to us. Help your word, Lord God, become anew and afresh in our hearts. Lord, help us to see how you want us to live it out right now where we're at. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, it's good to be with you over Facebook Live, and it's been wonderful worshiping from my home, but now it's wonderful to be here in front of the camera, in front of you. It's been a full month since we received here in California the order from Governor Newsom to stay at home, and so, you know, we transitioned a lot. We know that schools and daycares were closed, so parents have been running schools out of their homes. We have students that were in college that were all sent home to go back for the semester and the quarter and now doing online classes. Most of us who are working are now working from home and getting used to what that looks like. We have a love-hate relationship with Zoom. And it's just been such a period of a lot of uncertainty. I don't know if that's how you feel, but you know, we've all had to cancel plans. We've had to postpone plans. We're negotiating when we need to make certain changes. We don't know what's going to happen next. And in the midst of this, my younger brother luckily sent me the official coronavirus guidelines, because we're getting new guidelines and new updates on what to do all the time. So you don't have to worry anymore. You know, we have the official guidelines to follow. And if you follow this, you'll be fine. Okay. Number one, basically, you can't leave the house for any reason. But if you have to, then you can. Number two, masks are useless. But maybe you have to wear one. It can save you. It is useless. But maybe it's mandatory as well. Number three, stores are closed, except those that are open. Number four, gloves won't help, but they can still help. Number five, everyone needs to stay at home, but it's important to go out. Number six, there is no shortage of groceries in the supermarket, but there are many things missing when you go there in the evening, but not in the morning, sometimes. Number seven, you will have many symptoms when you're sick, but you can also get sick without any symptoms, have symptoms without being sick, or be contagious without having symptoms. The list goes on with many more guidelines, and when I was reading this, I just cracked up because I was like, this is how we all feel. Like, there's so much advice out there, and a lot of it is conflicting, and there's a lot of new things coming up constantly. We can really go crazy with all of this. So as we're trying to figure out what to do in this challenging time, we can all agree that we are all affected. That's the thing about this pandemic, is how much it's affected everyone in society, no matter where you live, whether you're wealthy, whether you're economically not doing well, whatever race you are, We are all affected by this virus. Our lives have been changed profoundly. And as we go on in our book of John, we've been doing studies called Knowing and Living Jesus. I want to add Knowing and Living Jesus in the Age of the Coronavirus, because the Word of God is living and active and has to speak to us today. God's Word is live and living and has a word for us today. So let's jump in. We're going to be reading the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's a story that I think is familiar to a lot of you. It's not a new story, I imagine. But I'm going to ask us to use your imagination and put yourself into the shoes of the different characters of the story as we read it together today. And then we'll see, what does the word of the Lord have to speak to us personally? We're going to start with John chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says here, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. Let's pause right here. This is a story that takes place probably around the end of Jesus' second year of ministry. So by this time, Jesus had been doing a ministry of teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God, of healing many, many sick people, of casting out demons. Jesus had gained quite a big reputation by this time. And so wherever he went, the word would spread quickly and people would gather. This situation was no different. Jesus got into a boat on one side of the Sea of Galilee, and it says he traveled to the far other side of the shore. And it was incredible how quickly the word spread. Jesus landed on that side. It said he headed up on a mountainside and sat down. And by the time he got there, he saw the crowd approaching, and it was a crowd of over 5,000 people who had gathered. Among those people were people who needed healing, and then many, many more people who wanted to hear and see this miracle worker. Let's go on to verses 5 and 6. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Where shall we buy food for these people to eat? No doubt, Philip was taken aback by Jesus's question. How did this become our responsibility, Jesus? The people didn't come out here to get a free meal. They came here to hear you. They came here to receive healing. How did feeding them become our responsibility? That's their responsibility. It's something that they should take care of. In verse 7, Philip answers Jesus, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Okay, so if there were a few people, we could figure it out. We can show some hospitality, but we're talking about 5,000 plus people here. Philip does some math, and he says it would take 200 denarii, which our Bibles today makes it nicely translated for us to. It would be over a half a year's wages to buy bread for everyone to eat just a bite, right? This is impossible. They don't have the money. This situation is crazy. We know from the other accounts of the gospel, all the other gospel writers record this story as well, and they give a few more helpful details that we're gonna just bring in here. Jesus was teaching and healing actually all day on the mountainside by this point, and it was late in the afternoon. So it was clear that the people hadn't eaten all day, and they were probably very hungry. The other thing that the gospel writers point out is that it was a remote location. They were in the middle of nowhere, no major towns nearby. There's nowhere to buy food, even if you had money. So now the need is great. Everyone's really hungry. It's late in the day. Where are they going to get food on the way home, right? There's nowhere to go. And Jesus says, it's our responsibility. Where are we going to buy food for these people, Philip? The situation is looking truly impossible. is looking ridiculous, except that Jesus is absolutely serious. In verses 8 and 9, it says, another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Here is a boy. We know that Andrew would not have taken some boy's lunch and just offered it. This boy obviously overheard the conversation between Jesus and Philip. And when he heard that Jesus was asking, where are we going to buy bread? This boy was looking at the lunch that he didn't eat, that his mother probably packed him. And it was, he's like, I have bread. I have lots of bread. I have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish I could share. He didn't think about how far is this food going to go. He didn't look at the enormity of the situation. He looked at what he had. He saw what the need was. And he said, okay, I'm going to offer what I had. And he was a little too shy to tell Jesus directly and offer it to him. And so he thought, I'll go and talk to one of Jesus' disciples. And he gets Andrew's attention. And we can just probably imagine a little bit of their conversation that happened when he tells Andrew, this is what I want to do. I want to offer what I have, you know? And then Andrew might have said, that's a great idea, kid, but you know what? This is not going to go anywhere. And then the boy insisted, because obviously at some point Andrew was like, okay, I'll bring it up to Jesus, right? And when he brings it up to Jesus, you could hear in Andrew what he says. He sounds kind of sheepish. He says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Well, how far is that going to go among so many? But let's also not miss the point that Andrew did play a role. Andrew did play a role because it's, even though it was a secondhand kind of faith, he still believed in the boy enough and the boy's faith to bring up that request and be an advocate and help him in his plan and bring it before Jesus. In verse 10 and 11, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. What the boy offered was just enough for Jesus to work with. He took the bread, and it says he went straight into action. He gave thanks to God for the loaves. He gets to work multiplying the food, and it's distributed, and everyone eats to their heart's content. It's an amazing miracle. And again, it's one that's recorded by all of the gospel writers for how amazing and impactful this moment was. Verse 12 and 13 says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Why did Jesus have his disciples pick up the leftovers? Remember, we just had Jesus who turned 5 loaves of bread into 5,000 loaves of bread. There was more than enough to go around. If people needed more bread, Jesus could multiply more bread again. Why did he care about the leftovers? You know, what we see here, at least one thing, is that good stewardship matters to Jesus anytime and all the time. Whether you've experienced a truly miraculous abundance from God, or whether you're living with just enough or in want, Jesus still says, let nothing be wasted. We're to maximize, we're to make everything that we have last and go as far as possible. Let nothing be wasted. He wants us to learn that principle here. We're to be careful with our resources and not take anything for granted. So, where shall we buy bread in this coronavirus pandemic? At the beginning of the stay-home order, I went to their grocery store and they didn't have bread. Almost all the bread was gone in the bread section. There was only some bread left and it wasn't the kind that I ever eat, so I didn't get it. So we literally had a lack of bread, but that's not what I'm asking us today. I'm asking us where and how and what does it look like for us to apply what we have read into our situation today. In our story, the crowd was facing the immediate need for food. There were 5,000 plus people who were in the middle of nowhere. They were hungry. And furthermore, there was no money to buy food, right? Jesus asked this impossible question, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? The coronavirus pandemic has affected everyone on a basic level. Never before in our living history have we experienced a shortage of basic needs as a whole society. By basic, it includes things like toilet paper, it includes things like in the hospitals, personal protective equipment, it includes all these basic things on that level, but then it also includes things like our jobs, the need for work, for human connection, and for comfort. Those things are now becoming all really real needs, basic needs that we're all experiencing. And the needs are only going to become greater as the days and the months pass. You know, before this pandemic, especially for us in the US, we didn't have to worry about that much. We didn't have to rely on other people. Our needs weren't that bad. We didn't have to, we were generally good. I'm good, you're good, we're all good. You know, for the most part, we were able to do what we needed to do. It's not the case in these days. We know we are needy. We're experiencing the worry. We're experiencing the same kind of loss of job, insecurities, and all of that that everyone else is experiencing around us. We see the needs. We're experiencing the needs. It's spilling out everywhere. In the midst of this, Jesus is asking us the impossible question, where shall we buy bread? Where shall we, you, me, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? How will you respond to Jesus's question, his invitation, his testing? Because we know that Jesus already knew what he was going to do when he asked Philip that question. We have an open door now to be able to respond and to participate in the work that Jesus has already planned to do. And it's a window of opportunity, because at some point, I believe that God's going to begin to cause this pandemic to subside. The worst of things will be over. Our lives, I do believe, also will be changed forever in many ways. But in many ways, we are still going to go back to functioning in the ways we have. We're going to be able to take care of the things on our own. So what we're experiencing now is a window, this time when everyone is experiencing this neediness as a vulnerability and openness. And Jesus says, don't miss the opportunity to minister. We're going to apply our callings, to apply the story to our situation today. And you've probably already begun to hear what the Lord is speaking to you and how to apply it. I'm going to break it down into some guidelines that I'm going to ask you, if you'd like, to write it down so you can also go back and to be able to actually take some time to go over these questions and answer them for yourself again. So the first question, as we're applying the message for today, is what are the needs that you see? The needs that Jesus saw and presented right there to Philip, and then the boy that answered it, was for food, was for bread, right? What are the needs that you see that are right in front of you? Because we're going to be oftentimes most effective with the people that are closest to us. So look around you. Is there a family member? Is there a neighbor? Is there a coworker, a friend who has experienced job loss, is sick? Are there people who have family members that are sick or have lost family members at this time? Who is in need around you? Is someone lonely or depressed? In our community, what are the needs around us? Begin to think around us in our community, in our healthcare community. What kind of support do they need? Business owners who are about to lose their businesses, who are the most vulnerable? We just learned about today, there's one of our own convalescent homes that we've been going to for many years that have been almost one of the hardest hit here in LA, with many of their residents being diagnosed with the virus. The homeless. We have those with long-term illnesses, with cancer and other illnesses, that they're going to be hardest hit. inner world, what are the needs? An article I read earlier this week is called Who is My COVID-19 Neighbor? And it highlights how the virus is going to or very can affect countries, the developing countries that have very little, very stressed or no healthcare systems. What's going to happen in those places? In Uganda, there are 55 ICU beds in a country of 36 million people. How will that nation deal with the pandemic? When Pakistan's prime minister ordered 210 million people to stay home, he said it would save them from the corona at one end, but they will die from hunger on the other end. If we as a country are affected the way that we are, and we're a country with many resources, how are these other countries going to be affected? So what are the needs that we are beginning to see most in front of us and then moving outwards? Take that time to reflect on that. Number two is, what do you have to offer? And as we're thinking about what we have to offer and the boy in the story, let's think about these principles of offering. Number one is to give what you have. The boy gave what he had. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he said, this is what I have to offer, and this is what I'm going to give. What is in your hands? What resources do you have of time, of finances, of talents, of interests, of hobbies? All those things can be utilized. If you love to bake, if you love to cook, you can encourage someone with cookies. You can bring a meal to someone who needs it. I have a friend who said her gift is keeping in touch with people. She said, I found out that actually I'm really good at keeping in touch with people. I don't really know how that's really meant to be utilized. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, this is the perfect time to utilize a gift like keeping in touch with people. Right? If you have financial resources, and we know that this is the time where we're all thinking about, we need to save because we don't know what's going to happen next. But if you have financial resources that you know that you do have extra, you have more to give at this time, then consider giving to places, because right now people are like more than any time before, they're in need. Homeless ministries, those ministries that have been giving aid to foreign organizations for medical reasons, for help, Samaritan's Purse. These are people that are going to places where it's needed most, and yet people are giving less. So consider giving. Number two is, don't give what you don't have, right? We're at the same time, we all are given a certain amount of time and resources. And that's part of our Christian responsibility, is to take a good assessment of what do we have and how do we budget and how do we prioritize so that we give what we're able and what we have. Don't give time and money and resources that you don't have. Don't go into debt giving what you don't have. Don't give someone else's things and burden someone else with something that they have when it's not yours to give, you know? Be wise. Don't give what you don't have. Number three is to give cheerfully. And that's a principle that we know that is made clear throughout the Bible. God loves a cheerful giver. And so we ask ourselves, can we give and whatever we're doing cheerfully? Is it something that we won't hold a grudge about later? What we can also do is to be like Andrew and partner with someone else's plan. I called it a secondhand faith, which sometimes can sound somehow it's less than. But Andrew played a crucial role in this story too. Even though he didn't come up with the plan, he believed in the boy and his plan. And he said, you know what? Okay, I'll join in with his plan and I'll help make that happen. So if you see someone in your life who has a plan, who has some faith, and you can partner with that person, do it. Number three in our principles and our guidelines for responding today is, let nothing be wasted. We see that Jesus, at the end of this particular miracle, again, he tells his disciples to pick up the leftovers. He says, let nothing go to waste. So whether you feel like you're experiencing an unexpected abundance of God's provision, or you're just barely making it through, whatever you have, God says to expand and think about how to make whatever resource you have, time, money, your talents, try to multiply it. Let nothing be wasted. Don't waste the time that you have. If you have more time than you thought you ever would, don't waste that time. Manage your resources well. Keep thinking about how to make most of what you have. Practice good stewardship. That day when Jesus did that miracle, I just imagine the disciples that day having the baskets for them to, as Jesus, somehow it must have been organized because they had to feed 5,000 people. So they got baskets. Each of the disciples had their group of people to distribute to. And as they dug into that basket, and they just kept bringing out another loaf of bread, another loaf of bread, another loaf of bread, hundreds of times, going over and over and over. Can you just imagine having been able to experience that miracle? Like, that sounds like just an incredible experience. And what would it have been like? What an amazing opportunity to be part of that. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to. He's asking us to do that part, to be able to answer the question when he says, where shall we buy bread? It's a question that's for us too today, to see how we'll respond in the plans that he's already set out to do, to bless people. So will you take a step of faith and join Jesus today?